Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like history, the visual arts, communications, and comparative religion. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Doran.
On this program, we're talking with Eric Renz Whitmore, a lead organizer of the DataFest ArtQuest event, and Karen Mazur, Public Art Project Coordinator and Database Administrator for the City of Albuquerque Public Art Program.
We've talked about the hackathon and sort of how you went in and what the people were doing there. But I wanted to back up just a little bit and talk about open government and how this came to be a citizen initiative in partnership with government. What is open government about and how does it impact us as citizens?
So I'll say we had a really good session on the 19th with Tom Johnson, who works with the New Mexico Foundation for Open Government. And he talked a little bit about open government, but how that relates to some other concepts we typically work with. He did a really good job of describing that was new to me was the difference between transparency and actual open government. First of all, the bottom line is that it's the public's data. The information that's created through all these different means that we've paid through with our taxes, that is something that the government in a way maintains for us. Now, one thing that folks really look for is that information transparent. In other words, can you look at it? Can we see the minutes of this meeting? Can we see these other kinds of things? But the thing that we really aspire to do a better job of is this more open government ideal, which is that the data and information that goes into government is provided back in a way where people can actually use it. So it's not just, say, a picture or even a PDF sometimes of an agenda, but it's really, you know, who all was involved, spreadsheets about who was involved at what time, how did money flow, things like that. That all kind of goes into that open government picture and the fact that it can be used by a lot of different people. And we don't always know, as came out through this hackathon or through this event, we don't always know what they're going to use that information for. And they don't always know what they're going to use it for. Sometimes in working with it, the data story emerges from it. I kind of describe it as still an aspiration for how government shares the information that it has with the wider public in a thoughtful way. Because I do think it's useful to mention that there are things that the government probably shouldn't share to protect the rights of individuals. So they do have a job that may need to control or may need to moderate the kinds of information that are available. But ideally, that happens as part of a public discussion, where it's not just somebody in government says you can't have it and there's no recourse. Instead of that, how can we have a wider, thoughtful discussion about what can be provided so that the people can make the most use of information that is available?
To me, there are some things that are kind of no-brainers. Like, so for example, we're talking about money that is collected via tax mechanism and then is spent on public art owned by the citizens of Albuquerque. So to be able to track that money, to be able to track, say, how the decisions are made by the board and what projects get funded is kind of a no-brainer. But when you say that there are some things potentially that should remain private, do you have like a concrete example in mind? And I realize what you're saying that should come as also as a discussion, right? Because government should be open and transparent. But what would be an example of something that should be kept more private?
One example that was mentioned, and I thought it was a good one, is sort of victims' rights. So if we're tracking crime data, there is on some piece of paper or in some data file, there's the person who was injured in some way, you know, whether that's a car accident or something else. And because they were injured by that doesn't necessarily mean that their name and their home address and their phone number and social security number should be made available to absolutely everyone. So how do we protect, how do we balance that person's rights as an individual with the fact that they interacted with city government or municipal government in some way? It's not always that we should make that all available. So how do we make sure that we're balancing those different needs?
Even from the public art perspective, where we have part of our database is every constituent or every person who made art, every artist, everyone who made a donation, and we're not going to release all their addresses and phone numbers, for instance, as part of the open data.
Karen, I know that you can't speak for the entire city of Albuquerque here, but is it your sense from within the public art department that the city is moving more towards open data? It sounds like you were being encouraged by the DTI.
the Department of Technology and Innovation, right? This is the good old IT department. You know, we've had a lot of IPRA requests this past year, I'll say. And so the more this information is available, the better. So that was part of the impetus for getting all those arts board notes digitized and up on this website a year ago. And so, yeah, it just pays to have it available because when people make an IPRA request about the public art program, we have to find every bit of information they're asking for. So helps to have it all handy.
IPRA is Inspection of Public Records Act. It's our local version of a Freedom of Information Act request. If you have better data, it also just makes it easier to fulfill those requests without it taking huge amounts of time on the staff side and whatnot. Or hopefully people can get it without even having to contact you.
Exactly. Yes. Even better.
That's something that came up in the discussions and kind of the public talks over the weekend. And I will say Albuquerque has been among the leaders in open government many years. And we may not always get how important that is, but it's one of the earlier cities that was making that data available. One of the things that I think helps city government is when people in the public are making requests, we help city government prioritize what they make available more quickly. So making absolutely everything available might be the goal, but having some sense of priority and what's easier and what's most needed to make that available first is useful. So to some degree, sometimes these IPRA requests, if you're getting a lot of these, that says, well, you know, rather than do each of these as an individual release, maybe that's a data set that we want to look at opening up a little bit more. So it's useful. It's the citizen's voice.
Were there some priorities like that that came out of the hackathon and the Data Fest event? You know, aside from the public art stuff, which obviously was a focus of it.
I think something that's still sort of discussion is there's information that's available, but it's not always available in the most useful format. The data that's available around public art is better, say, than just having a PDF. And I don't know, I don't mean to slam PDFs. But the information is available is better than that. However, until you have more interactions with, say, the tech folks and also those end users, until you have those kinds of conversations, that really helps us learn, well, if we captured the data in this way, we made it available in this format, that's really going to be of greater benefit to the wider community. So it's really not just that the data is available, but is it available in the most useful way? And oftentimes it's a journey. So I think one of the things that this couple weekends allowed us to do was, oh, if we made it available a little bit more like this, that would help us do what we want to do.
Were people able to take your data and do something with it? What did people want to do when they got your awesome spreadsheet?
There were a lot of people who were interested in sort of planning bicycle routes or walking trips and creating sort of individualized maps. That was something I noticed that came up right away.
So I think there was a couple different levels. But to your point, Ellen, what was built? So we're still getting some of the feedback from people who were building projects. So I don't necessarily know all of those. The pieces that I saw most were around this discovery of public art and sharing it. Several of us talked about different versions of like a scavenger hunt or route planning. There was one person, I think maybe working with another person or two, who was working on how to make that a little bit easier. So say I know I'm traveling to Old Town and I want to find public art that's along the way. That's a complex problem. So there was a lot of work that he was putting into that. The thing that I kind of focused on was more of this scavenger hunt. How do we suggest a set of public art that we're interested in getting people to visit, then have them go there, prove that they were there with a photo, and then, you know, sort of report back on social media. So we had a couple of people that did that. In addition to that, and I haven't played with it yet, but there was someone who was a part of the group that found a scavenger hunt app online that allows local people to create their own experiences. If you take the trail of the scavenger hunt and you take images and you prove that you were there, you get coins. It's like a gamified kind of version. So those are a couple of things that people have actually done as a result of this over the course of the past, you know, week and a half.
Were there any suggestions about applications or processes that would work the other way, which is to feed back into the data set itself and correct it? I know, Karen, you had said that in some cases you have geolocation data for public installations, but they're not actually where the piece itself is. And I'm just thinking out loud, like I have my phone and I post the geotagged photo of the piece currently. Was there any discussion of ways to correct the data or even do things like provide current photos of the state of the pieces? I presume, Karen, you don't have armies of people that can go around to all the public art and see if they're getting damaged or need restoration or whatever. Was there any discussion of stuff like that?
Well, yes. And Eric even created a very helpful tool for anyone who wanted to do that. I don't know if you want to speak to that, Eric, but it allowed people to go out into the field and report back on the pieces that they found.
I'm not a coder myself, or I haven't coded in this century. I'll put it that way. So wait a second. Maybe it was 2004. So I may have passed the cutoff, but it's been quite a long time. So I've been experimenting with using what are called no-code tools in order to help people kind of build projects and do a lot of things online without the benefit of coding. So I built something that was, I think it's pretty good. It's not quite where I want to bring it yet. You know, I'm not sure if we'll have an updated link by the time that this show posts. Basically, we were asking, what are people's sort of impressions of the location? You know, is there some kind of feedback that we wanted to get? So that was like providing an opportunity for more general feedback. In addition to that, in discussion with the public art team, a couple of the things that we were looking at are, what are the other hashtags? What are the other variables that we want people to suggest? One thing that came up that frankly had completely passed my mind, completely over my head, was that indoor-outdoor piece. Some pieces are behind either a wall that might be closed at a certain hour, or they're in a place where you have to pay for access, whether that's the zoo or it's the biopark. So some of the pieces are behind some kind of wall. Knowing that is a good thing if you're going to plan an outing, that you know where those things are. So that's a descriptor that I don't think has been in the database. And as a result of this, might actually get into the official city database. I want to say also, as Karen mentioned earlier, one of the things that an event like this does is it prompts the teams to kind of tidy up their place. You know, let's make sure everything's shiny and people can come in, it's welcoming. So there was a lot of work happening behind the scenes in the museum system that is used to track the public art. So cleaning up some of the data, making sure that it was available, identifying some of the gaps, but also I think getting ready for people to input. So there's kind of a public route where people can update that is available to the public, but there's also a behind the scenes that gets immediately into the public art system.
You know what? I didn't even think about public art that could be behind a paywall, in a sense, like at the zoo or the botanical gardens. It actually never even occurred to me. If you don't pay the admission, you can't necessarily see that art. So tracking that seems crucial, especially because we paid for it.
I think we could gain from a tool like what Eric created too, is sort of more qualitative information about public art. And I think that's what he was getting at with tags. Our program manager, Sherry, got hooked on this idea of, and this is a little bit like the gamifying public art routes, but to create this sort of experience generator. And this is a thing that exists, but just for public art, where, you know, maybe you type in like, I'm looking to see all things that are red, or all things made of bronze, or I want to see all the monuments that depict conquistadors or whatever. There aren't really many of those up anymore. But you get the idea. Just as much sort of anecdotal data as we could collect on them would be great. And part of this is wanting to know what the public thinks about public art and that they're experiencing it at all, because we are in a funny place in our culture with public art. People have feelings about it and we need to respond to that somehow. And so the more we know what people want and want to see, the better for everybody.
And having that data you can actually look at and leverage is a big step towards that. Eric, Karen, thank you so much for talking with us today about the public arts program in the city of Albuquerque and DataFest Art Quest. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thanks very much.
If you would like more information about the DataFest Art Quest, you can visit cabq.gov/datafest. If you want to take a look at the data itself on the public arts program, you can visit cabq.gov/abq-data. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.